This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Six oh six in the evening, and you're listening to the evening edition with Lynn. We've talked about this from a couple of different standpoints and at a couple of different education levels, but today we are going to be looking a little bit more at higher education. And the pandemic, of course, has forced schools all around the world to close and pivot to e-learning. And that transition hasn't been particularly easy. For many students, they just aren't able to connect because of poor internet access, or worse still, no internet access, or a lack of devices or support at home to help keep them focused on schoolwork. And then even if they are able to log on, students can still struggle with paying attention or keeping up with the lessons in the a new learning environment. And we're seeing extraordinary examples lately. So for example, there's Viviona Mosibin, who is an 18-year-old student from University Sabah, Malaysia, and she actually lives in the remote Kampung Sapatalang Pitas, which is nearly 200 kilometres outside of Kota Kinabalu, and internet connection is limited. So to sit for her online exams, what she did was she set herself up in a tree where the internet was much better. If you want to see what that was like, she actually documented the whole thing on her YouTube video. Just search for 24 hours on tree challenge. And I'm now wondering whether she also uploaded it on the tree, because you would have to, wouldn't you, if the internet is better only in that one particular spot. But anyway, I digress. So while that, of course, is a laudable amount of effort just to be able to participate in school, the point here is that students shouldn't have to go through such challenges and hardships just to attend school, just to attend school that they're paying for. The shift to distance learning has put a spotlight on socioeconomic problems faced by students, and also how not every home is a conducive environment for learning. And above and beyond that, I think there are also questions here about the importance of classrooms in general, the importance of being able to sit in person with your peers, with your teacher, and the kinds of discussions that can come from that. I think when we talk about it on a workplace level, that's also something that's come up, the fact that it's harder to just get discussions going, or it's harder to spark ideas because you're simply not having the kinds of conversations that you would be having from everybody being in the same space. So I would imagine that when it comes to the atmosphere of being in university and the ability to discuss and debate, that's also really crucial. And no matter how tech savvy you are, and no matter how much of a digital native you may be, I think there is still a discomfort with having to adapt to different platforms and to having to focus when the only thing keeping you accountable is yourself. Most of us struggle with that anyway when it comes to procrastination on social media. So I'd imagine that at home, that's just worse. So we are going to be speaking with university students about their experiences after this. We will be speaking with a communication student from USM, as well as a political science student from the University of Oregon. So if you would like to talk about your experiences with online learning, and you know what your thoughts are on the struggles to do with that, you can get in touch. That number to call is 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're talking today about online learning, particularly at the level of higher education, and how students have been impacted by the necessary shift that we've been seeing towards the online space. And now we are going to be crossing over to two students to talk to them about their experiences with online learning. If you'd like to share yours, or if you have any thoughts on this, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, on the line with us, we have Hannah Rahim, who is a communication student from USM, as well as Shaheen Daniel, who is a political science student from the University of Oregon. Hannah, Shaheen, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thanks.
All right. So how has online learning been carried out at your university over the past few months? What has that whole experience been like? Hannah, maybe you can take it first.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lynn. So online learning in my university has been a bit different because for me, compared to my other friends in my university, because I'm taking communication, so half of the courses that I take are more on the practical side. So I only have like two or three classes that are actually for online learning, and I feel like they're okay, but I kind of don't see the difference between online learning and also face-to-face. It's just more like everyone's on the screen instead of like everyone in being in a hall. Yeah.
Fair enough. Shaheen, what about you?
That's interesting. I'm taking a different, I have a completely different opinion on that, but I will talk about, my experience with online learning has been difficult, to say the least. It's like most people, and you've got about 40 to 50 people on Zoom, and you know, almost everyone has their cameras off and, you know, don't really participate. And most of my lectures are carried out live, but some of them have been recorded in advance and uploaded on our portals and left there for us to watch at our own time. Attendance and participation is no longer graded. They don't take that into account anymore. And it makes sense to me. I think my university has done a decent job at adjusting to the online format.
Okay, so we have a very clear difference of opinion here.
And
so rather than wait to approach it, I think let's just get into it now. Hannah, you know, why do you think that for you it's been kind of the same? You know, does it match up to your previous classroom experiences?
I think, aside from the technical problems that come with online learning, like Shaheen mentioned, like everyone has their camera off and all that, so it feels like you're just talking to like a blank screen. But I feel like, because I'm talking more about like the participation of my class, because I'm a bachelor student and my class is quite big, it has 100 people, but even with that many people in a class, so if we're having lectures face-to-face, I feel like it's a very one-sided sort of lecture because it's always the lecturer just talking, and you know how lectures are. It's supposed to be like the lecturers ask you questions and the students have to participate, so it becomes like an interactive experience. But for my classes, when the lecturer asks the question, all of us are just we're all just quiet, and I feel like that transfers to online learning as well because and it's harder for the lecturer to like ask us to participate even more. But in terms of like my lecturers teaching us and also how the students are, I feel they're sort of similar. That's why I don't really talk about I'm not really saying in terms of technical problems because that's like, that can't be avoided. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the experience of it, honestly, I still feel like it's the same because maybe it's because it's just my experience. It might be different for other people, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Shaheen, you sounded, what's the word, disheartened, I think, by the experience of online learning. And, you know, why was that? I mean, how was your previous classroom experience before it all moved online?
Right, so I think Hannah was saying, you know, it could be just based on her field and what she's studying. So, you know, in political science and I think I'm speaking for all the social sciences, participation is very, very important, if not the most important thing. And I think that's exactly the problem. With an online format, it's more difficult to participate in the same way that you would participate in an in-person class. And I disagree. I don't think it's the professor's job to make students participate. I think it's up to the students themselves to raise their hand and ask a question. And that is more difficult to do if you are in an online format. You know, yeah, sure, Zoom has its raise hand function, you know, but that takes time. It takes time for your professor to notice that you have your hand up, and then they have to unmute you, and, you know, by that time, you've probably forgotten what your question is. So it's just more difficult for the student to participate.
And what have assessments and exams been like? So far, we've been focusing on the classroom, but of course, you know, I think there are other concerns here as well. Hannah, what has it been like for you?
For my communication course, instead of examination, we've replaced that with a lot of assignments. So, like, before this call, I just finished one assignment and I have, like, six more to go for this month alone. So, it's been very heavy on terms of, like, the workload of it. I mean, like, the the transition of online learning from face-to-face, the impact that I feel the most is on the work that I have to do compared to, like, when before all this COVID thing happened. So, like, we have more assignments. Like, for example, in one class, instead of just one assignment or two, I would have three or four now, and the workload of it is much more difficult. And, yeah, I think, like Shaheen mentioned before, like, yeah, we do need to participate. And online learning, definitely, like, during classes, it's very hard for us to participate and ask the lecturer questions. And now it's even worse because I feel like we have to self-learn, you know, like, and the thing is, like, if we're studying on our own, that doesn't mean that we could be correct, because what if we're understanding it in a different way, but we don't have our lecturer there to guide us? And we could always email them or WhatsApp them, but, you know, technology is good, but it's sort of like, compared to face-to-face, sometimes there's like a block there. So sometimes we don't really know how to do our assignments as well. And I think the fact that a lot of my examinations have been cancelled and put to assignments, so that just puts a lot of pressure on the students to figure out how to deal with the assignment without fully understanding the course that we were taking for that particular semester.
Hmm. Shaheen, has it been the same for you?
I would say more or less. But then again, you know, I'm a political science. With political science, it's much harder to cheat on your exams. because I mean, that's one of the big concerns that people are having, right? Especially professors and lecturers themselves, right? Like, students now in an online format, there's no accountability. You can cheat. But in my case, it's been less that. It's been more having to do with the workload itself and the sheer number of assignments that we have to complete, given the, you know, difficulties like campus being closed and facilities on campus not being open. But yeah, generally my issue has not been so much with examinations and assessments. It's just been with the workload and having to put the same amount of work to complete the same amount of assignments, but in a more difficult situation.
I feel you, man. Yeah, I feel you.
So, okay, how about access to the kinds of things that you would usually have access to on a university campus? So, I mean, so far we've been talking about the interpersonal interactions, right? Like that you don't get that with your classmates, you don't get that with your professors or your tutors. But what about things like the library? It's been a while since I've been in university, so I don't know if everything's gone digital. So I do need to ask, you know, what has that been like?
Maybe Shaheen, you could go first if you want.
Yeah. At the University of Oregon, the library is still very much in existence. It's still a thing. And funny enough, I depend a lot on the library, not for the books that are there, but because of the environment. There's a lot of reading to do in political science, and I feel like the library is the only place that I can focus because it's quiet and, you know, there's still people moving around, so there's eyes that are kind of sort of on you and keeps you from procrastinating. So I depend on the library a lot, and since campus is closed, the library has also been closed, and I've been finding it really difficult to keep up with my readings. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people would agree with me. It's not easy to study at home. So we depend on facilities outside of our house to achieve our academic success. Yeah.
Hannah?
I agree with Shaheen, because like it's quite, maybe it's a shock to some people, but the communication course in USM is quite different to maybe other universities, because we do a lot of reading as well, surprisingly, because when I say I'm a communication student, everyone just assumes that I'm doing practical, but that's not the case in USM. We have an equal balance of practical and also a lot of reading. So like, maybe I would, to describe my course, I would say it's like social science, but we have to study how social science relates to the media as well. So we have a lot of reading to do as well. And the facilities, I think for my course, we have, because I have a camera, but a lot of my classmates, especially the ones that are doing film and broadcasting, they don't have access to like the lights and cameras that we need to do to do filming. I mean, other than the technical apparatus that we need, like the cameras and lights, and also the library for our books and all the readings. But I feel like the one thing that's sort of difficult for us is that we need to come as a group to film, because, like, I'm sure all of you know, like, the film industry during COVID has taken a huge toll, because filmmaking is such a huge like working environment. I mean, all working environments, you need a lot of people, but especially like filming, you know. So I feel like other than the facilities, I think the people involved are, what's the word? Can I say it in Malaya?
It's like, yeah, go for it.
it's quite difficult because we all need to come together. So, but it's the fact that our university is closed and the facilities are not there, so we cannot come together to actually do the work. I'm sure, like, Shaheen, you too, right? Like, maybe if you have like group work or anything, it's very hard to do when you're like doing it online. So you're trying to discuss something and somebody's like being stuck, and then you're like, oh no, what's happening, and all that. Yeah,
it's terrible. So, and then they take forever to respond, and it's annoying. It's really annoying.
Guys, I have bad news. When you start working, it's exactly the same, so it's no different. I am so sorry to be the bearer of bad news. All right, I just want to end, because we have about 3 minutes left, on this question. What do you think, how do you think things could be improved? You've both talked about how difficult it's been over the last few months. How can it be improved, both from the point of view of what the university can provide to you, and also, you know, in terms of, say, your own work process, maybe to make things better or easier? I'll leave it up to you guys who wants to go first.
My mind is coming up.
I don't mind taking.
Yeah, Shaheen, you can go first. Yeah.
Because I feel like this dialogue hasn't been. We haven't been having this conversation enough. I feel like institutions, so like schools. I feel like you guys need to start lowering your tuition. I don't think it's fair to expect students to be paying the same amount of money for a lower quality education. And I can't speak for public schools, but I know like private institutions haven't been lowering their tuitions. So that's one thing that the schools can do to help us. Lecturers, a lot of people want the easy way out, right? Cancel exams, you know, be a bit more lenient with grading. I disagree with that. I don't think that's the right way. I feel like what lecturers should be doing is just being more communicative with your students. So check in with them, you know, find out what they're struggling with. You know, if their grades are not looking good, you know, trying to understand the situation at home. And students likewise do the same thing. You need to communicate. If you are struggling with your classes, you should be emailing your professors, telling them what you're struggling with, and they will try and help you. And if they are passionate about their job, they will try and help you. And likewise, if you are passionate about learning, you will try and help yourself.
Hannah?
Yeah, I agree with whatever Shaheen said. Like, it's not just, we cannot just blame one one person. Like, everyone's going to assume that, yeah, the university need to buck up, but they don't actually talk about the bigger picture, like students and lecturers. Like, the lecturers could be doing so much to try and help, you know, students and guide the students through this tough time, especially through our education. But the students could not be lifting a finger or doing anything. So, like Shaheen said, I think it's like a tool. Because university is such, it's supposed to be such an interactive, educational sort of process, you know? So I think it's like everyone has to play their part in improving, especially because online learning is such a new thing, like not just around the world, but definitely in Malaysia, we never really had online learning before this, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I guess it's a learning curve for everybody. But Hannah, Shaheen, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you so much.
So you just heard there from Hannah Rahim, who is a communication student from USM, as well as Shaheen Daniel, who is a political science student from the University of Oregon, speaking to us about how distance learning has been for them. If you'd like to weigh in, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.